British Sky Broadcasting presents 2 Days in the Valley, voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. The golden stars of the Paramount logo stream out and frame the snow-capped mountain peak. Reicha Entertainment presents a Redemption production. Two men sit in a car in the pitch darkness, overlooking the lights of a town below them.
You know that first amount of money you offered me? You understand why I had to turn you down? I make good money when I work. Yeah, I know where I live. It doesn't look I'm that well off because... Well, that's because I was gambling and I was fucking sick and I blew every dime I made because I had the gambling habit. But now I'm trying to do the right thing. But even though we never worked together, I value this new relationship. But I won't work for nothing. Sure, I can use the money, but I gotta be paid my quota. You understand that, don't you?
How long since you've worked, Osmo?
Hey, you go through a little dry spell, what's it make? It makes you stronger. I'm okay. I always knew I'd be back. What is it?
Sounds like she's having a bad dream.
The clean-cut, bespectacled young man presses on his radio earpiece. Dasmo picks up a pair of binoculars and, casting an ironic glance at his companion, trains them on a house down the hill. A woman sleeps fitfully.
Roy.
On the other side of the room from the woman, a man who has been sleeping in a twisted hammock slips out of it and falls heavily to the floor.
I'm on my knees where you always wanted me to be.
Never wanted you on your knees, Roy.
What do I do next? Beg or bark?
All right. Come on the bed. Go to sleep on this side.
Roy crawls gleefully across and into the bed, grinning broadly, and puts an arm around the woman.
My little one.
Don't call me that.
But you were my little one, right?
God! Why did you come over?
Because it's our anniversary. I kept thinking of all the good times. So you seeing someone?
No. No one special. How many girls are you seeing?
No one. Are you gonna try for 98?
No.
What's so funny?
Through with competition.
Yes. What's going on?
He's trying to screw her.
What about you?
He's in a bed?
If you don't go, maybe I will. Because when I saw you before I skated, that's why I fell.
Tell me what the fuck's happening.
Oh, please.
Come, Becky, I missed you. That's why I came over here.
Why are you doing this? What are you doing here? You left me.
Yeah, but I think I made a mistake.
Who was the Norwegian bimbo in Lillehammer? The one that you brought to watch me race?
Helga? Did she distract you?
No! No, not at all. No, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this giant Viking blonde with blue eyes, crawling all over you. Didn't distract me in the least. Blocked it right out of my mind and came in fourth fucking again.
Yeah, well, at least you came in fourth.
Let's just go to sleep.
She turns away angrily. He continues looking at her slyly, then pulls around roughly, gets on top of her and kisses her.
No! Go call your Viking!
Becky. Come on.
No!
Becky, I think I'm still in love with you.
Stop.
I do.
Stop it. I'll throw you out. Good night.
Becky lies face down on the bed, wearing an anguished expression. Roy turns away in apparent frustration and lies beside her on his back, looking upwards.
I'm going back to sleep.
Let's go. What the fuck happened?
Does every other word out of your mouth have to be fucked, Osmo? Is that the extent of your vocabulary?
Well, it fucking bothers you? I didn't fucking know.
In what appears to be the earliest light of dawn, the car moves along a road at the base of a bluff of hills. The car now moves slowly down a narrow lane bordered by a high wooden fence. The car headlights are extinguished as the vehicle cruises gently to a halt on a patch of gravel drive by the fence. The driver and Dasmo get out of the car and stroll towards a house.
Very quiet.
This ain't my first barbecue. Are you sure she don't have a fucking dog?
Osmo, a tough guy like you is afraid of dogs.
I ain't afraid of them. They just don't like me. I don't know what it is. They always growl at me.
A small terrier looks expectantly at a front door as it opens inwards. A middle-aged woman enters, reading a letter.
Teddy? You don't have the rent. What would you do if you were me and I hadn't paid the rent for 4 months?
I would evict me.
I don't want to be an asshole, Teddy.
You're not an asshole, Evelyn. I'll be gone tomorrow.
Where will you go?
Listen, there's one thing you could do. I may be moving around for a while, and would you look after Bogey?
You're not giving him away.
No.
What about that agent you used to have dinner with once a week? Couldn't he advance you some money?
He doesn't return my calls.
Evelyn wearily puts the letter down on a side table and goes back the way she came in. Teddy, whose face is festooned with shaving foam, returns to the bathroom to finish what he started. Bogey, the small terrier, scampers off to another part of the apartment and then returns carrying a lead in its mouth. The dog brings it expectantly to Teddy.
Okay, little man. One last walk to the park.
Teddy rinses the soap vaguely from his face. He stops, his attention drawn to a small pistol sitting next to the basin. Cocking the pistol, he raises it to his temple, looking at himself sadly in the mirror all the while. He casts a look down at Bogey, who looks up with bright black eyes. Teddy appears near tears as he prepares to pull the trigger.
Bang. When I do it, I'll load it first.
Stashing the gun in his back pocket, Teddy ambles across the bathroom and unrolls a wad of toilet paper with which he dries his face. He picks up a gilt statuette and reads the inscription on the base. 1982 Emmy Award, Teddy Peppers, Director, Arthur's Last Hope. He nods ironically, places the toilet roll over the figure and drops the whole thing in the bin. Dasmo and the young man from the car move stealthily through the darkness of Becky's bedroom. Dasmo holds an open flick knife which he uses to cut the cable of the bedside phone. He then retrieves the tiny listening bug secreted beneath the bedside table. The young man prepares a syringe, and while Dasmo trains a powerful handgun at the sleeping Roy, he advances towards Becky's exposed bottom.
Ah!
Dasmo pushes the muzzle of his gun right into the mouth of the terrified Roy.
She out?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy, lay back. I'm gonna take the gun out of your mouth. And you're gonna be quiet, right? Otherwise, I'm gonna have to pull the trigger. Open up. So I don't hurt the teeth.
Roy glances across at the young man who stands wearing a sinisterly bland expression and latex surgical gloves.
You mind if I smoke?
Roy shakes his quivering head. Dasmo acknowledges with a polite smile. The young man then bounds onto the bed and straddles Roy. He tweaks the fingers of his gloves. Dasmo looks on, pulling out a cigarette. The young man unzips his bomber jacket and pulls out a stopwatch.
You have 1 minute to decide the rest of your life. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. If you lie, you die.
Why'd you let him sit up?
Get comfortable. No? All right. 47 seconds, first question. You met her in Lillehammer. Who'd she say she was?
Helga. Helga's Falcon.
Did Becky know about your other business in Norway? Did she know what you did there besides fall down ice skating?
I don't know what you're talking
There's
about.
There's no sense in trying to protect Helga. She's dead. 26 seconds.
Helga's dead?
He flashes a photo of the naked Helga in a pool of blood.
God. Can I see that picture?
Will you shut your mouth and let me finish? This is the one not to get wrong. Was Helga the one who approached you on behalf of the North Koreans? You have 16 seconds left.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yes or no? Was it Helga? If you don't admit that she was your contact in the next 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Okay. She was my contact.
The young man tilts his head briefly in acknowledgement. He removes the muzzle of his silenced pistol from Roy's forehead and climbs off him. Roy struggles to sit up.
This thing isn't about a gambling debt.
The gun is raised.
Shit! I just got a flat! Can you believe it? I'm on my way to a $300,000 commission and I just got a fucking flat! Call AAA right away.
Yeah.
Send them to Ventura and Woodman.
Ventura.
Tell them to hurry, there'll be a big tip waiting.
Okay, do you have enough cash to...
Call Mr. Carnegie, tell him I'll be there as soon as I can.
Okay.
Apologise, you know what to say.
Yes, I do.
Then go to my house and feed the dog.
Okay, but...
Wait there until you hear from me, all right?
Listen, the thing is, I had plans tonight.
Oh, I just assumed you never have plans, Susan.
The suave young Englishman pulls over in his red BMW coupe.
Shit!
He gets out of the car and walks to look at the flat tire. He suddenly doubles over in apparent agony. A renewed spasm of pain sends him reeling backwards into the line of traffic. A 4x4 swerves to avoid him.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing? Get out of the street!
Across the street, in front of a bar terrace where people continue drinking and dancing obliviously, sits a young African-American man at the wheel of an open-topped car. He looks across at the Englishman, then ducks down to hot-wire the engine before crossing to him through the traffic.
Hold it!
The young man picks him up in a fireman's lift.
Stop! Stop!
The young man tips the Englishman unceremoniously into the rear of the open-topped car. He notices the billfold which has fallen out of the Englishman's pocket and stoops to pick it up, then trousers it. He gets in and drives away. The registration plate reads, California, ride me. A man runs out from the bar.
That's my car! He just stole my car!
Nighttime. Arc lights illuminate a stretch of grass fringed by trees. Teddy walks Bogey. Another dog walker approaches.
Teddy! Teddy Peppers? Is that you? Teddy! It's Ralph! It's Ralph Kruppi. You know, I did three days' work on that feature of yours called Lights Out.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Boy, what a bomb that was. Have you worked since? Just kidding. You know, that was one of two or three in a row for you. I mean, flops. I mean, bomb. I mean, so what happens now? You go back to TV? You must be thinking that you're losing touch with your audience or something. You see, God! Those critics were cruel. I don't think I've ever read reviews that terrible for a movie. What happened? I read the script. I thought it was a drama. What was all that stuff with the elephant in the middle? I know, it's a long story. The studio fucked you over. Hey, you still have the dog, the same dog. You still have the terrier.
This is another one. That one was hit by a car.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I remember your wife used to bring that other one around the set when he was still a puppy. Yeah. What? How is she, your wife? She's an actress, right?
We're divorced.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, because she is so pretty. Well, look, I hope you get another chance soon. Otherwise, I'll see you down on the unemployment line. Just kidding.
Bogey looks on as the man walks away, and then up at Teddy, who stands watching the man go with an expression of venomous disdain on his face. The screen goes black. In the hills above the city, a motorcyclist sits at the roadside looking down at the pall of pollution hanging in the early morning light. Streams of traffic move both ways along a city street. A 10-lane freeway teems with cars. A sign reads Studio City, 1 mile. A woman and a tiny child hose the lawn of their home. Girls play sport behind a high wire mesh fence. A sign reads Income Tax, Immigration, Weddings. Hands with a set of startlingly red manicured fingernails massage the skin of someone's back.
Feel good?
Oh, yeah. Feels great.
You live California?
No. Chicago.
Here for vacation?
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Vietnam.
Vietnam? This was a Japanese place.
Mother Vietnamese, father Japanese. How you say... Mutt?
No, you're not a mutt. You're a very beautiful girl.
Thank you.
As she crosses to the other side of the room, she brushes against the chair, knocking the man's police ID badge out of the pocket of his jacket. He leans down and secretively tucks it back into his clothes.
Feel okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I just softened his side.
Okay.
The red-haired man lies on his back, smiling as she gently massages upwards from his calves towards the towel draped across his middle. She smiles demurely and looks towards him with her lovely dark eyes.
Like?
That feels very nice.
Ooh, you're strong. Nice body. Ooh. Ooh, look at you, so big.
His erection is plainly visible through the towel.
Finish.
You're done?
You want something else?
Like what?
Well, what do you want?
What could I get?
You be here before?
No. No, no. I mean, no, I've been to massage parlors before, but just not this one. Yeah. Didn't this place just open?
You have nice eyes. Oh, yeah, just open. What you want, I do.
I'd like
Mày làm cái gì mà sao lâu quá vậy?
Dạ 5 phút nữa con gần xong rồi, xin lỗi bà.
What's that?
I take too much time, you need customer waiting. What you want, I do.
You know, I should go. I gotta go. I didn't realize the time I gotta meet somebody.
You want nothing else?
No, thank you.
Her eyes widen incredulously, and she steps wearily away from him. A bearded man sits at the wheel of a parked car. He looks around with tired eyes as if absorbing a piece of bad news. In his hands he holds a letter. He turns to it and reads attentively, then puts a hand to his face as if in desperation. Looking up, he quickly folds the letter and stashes it as across the road towards him walks the red-haired policeman from the massage parlour. The red-haired man, smoking a cigarette, walks around the car and gets into the front passenger seat.
What happened?
Nothing.
She didn't do anything.
Just a straight massage.
What?
Maybe she made me as a cop.
What are you trying to tell me that that's a legitimate Japanese therapy studio?
No, I'm trying to tell you that nothing happened.
That place is definitely a handjob house, and we're going to raid it. Every one of those slanty-eyed whores, I am going to personally throw in the can and make sure they're deported.
Hey, Ava. Can I ask you a question?
You know, I hate it when people ask me if I can ask a question. Just ask it.
Why do you hate Asians so much?
I don't hate Asians. I don't like whores.
The red-haired man puzzles over this.
Hey, Alvin,
just ask him.
Okay. There are about 100 massage parlors in L.A. For years, Vice hasn't bothered with any of them. Why are we starting now?
Because this one's in the Valley. All the others are downtown, or they're in Culver City or Santa Monica. But this one is right in the Valley, and there are going to be no massage parlors in the Valley. I was born 2 miles from here. I own a house in Studio City. This is a nice place to live. I would like to keep it that way. That fucking place opened 4 weeks ago, and it ain't gonna operate a day after today. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Good.
I thought this was a thing out of New York. I thought this was a bad guy who welched in a bet. What was all this shit about Koreans and spies?
You know, curiosity killed the cat.
Well, you're a real piss, aren't you? You like fucking with people's heads, don't you? How did you find me?
I looked you up in the phone book under washout.
Oh, you know about that. Look, I'm grateful for a chance at a comeback. To tell you the truth, you know what I was doing when you called?
Flipping pizzas at Polly's.
Who the fuck are you? How come you know so much about me?
I know more about you than you know about yourself, Dumbo.
My name is Dasmo. Dasmo Pizzo.
The young man grins broadly but unsettlingly at Dasmo. On a flat expanse of ground above the city, the car cruises to a halt.
What do you know about me that I don't know?
This is where you get out.
Dasmo struggles but is too slow. Shot in the abdomen, he gently keels over. The young man produces a white cloth and wipes the gun clean of prints. Another car pulls onto the piece of ground. The young man gets out and wipes the car door handle.
Have a little coke.
He throws a small package in through the open window. Moving around to the rear of the car, he chucks some glass vials on the ground by the passenger door. He opens the boot and sets the timer on an explosive device. He then runs to the other car, in which sits Helga, obviously not dead.
All done, honey.
What about the phone?
Roy?
Dumbo, the pizza man.
Roy, stay right. You killed him.
Why, were you missing?
Of course not.
You didn't enjoy yourself with him, did you?
Lee, don't we have to get out of here?
You definitely didn't sleep with Roy.
No, we're not going to go through this again, are we?
What exactly did you do to him?
We kissed. We necked. That's all, okay?
He didn't touch your breasts?
No.
I'm just telling you, if I found out you were lying, I'd go crazy.
Lee kisses Helga passionately on the mouth.
Don't go crazy, okay? Now let's just go.
Lee puts the car into gear and turns to reverse away. The other car explodes in a huge plume of orange fire, but he does not give it a single glance. Down a dusty slope of brush and scrubby grass rolls a man. It is Dasmo. He comes up hard against a fence. Breathing hard, he now rips open his shirt to reveal a bulletproof vest. Prizing the bullet out from the vest, he then tosses it away and hoists himself up effortfully onto his elbow. As he comes up, a trailing bramble snags his toupee, which slides back off his head. Into a supermodern complex of white stucco buildings drives the red BMW coupe, the registration plate of which reads Art Dealer. A young woman with hair piled high is at the wheel. In the passenger seat, looking none too well, is the Englishman. An art installation of a huge mussel shell with two pairs of feet sticking out of it rocks suggestively. The woman bustles to open the door for the Englishman.
I can walk by myself.
Let me help.
I don't need help, all right? I'm not a cripple. Just sore. Hot and sore. It's be 110 fucking degrees. What happened up there?
Oh, a car fire. Some kids blew up a car up there, I think.
Dasmo sits on the other side of the fence, blowing the dust off his toupee before replacing it on his head. Hearing the splash, he peers through the fence to see a large dog swimming vigorously in a stylish pool overlooking the city.
Oh, shit. Fucking dog! A dog!
Dasmo flaps in panic.
No more dairy products. No red meat. No milk. No nuts. No coffee. No tea. No chocolate. No sex.
Are you kidding?
And I've got to drink at least 3 gallons of water a day. I never want to be without a glass of water in my hand. I have to be constantly pouring water down my throat.
The Englishman limps self-pityingly, then looks around.
Where's the only joy of my life?
He was by the pool when I left.
You fed him last night? Flavored his food with bacon?
Yes.
Good girl.
Me? Or the dog?
The dog is a boy.
Oh. She holds the door open for him, but not quite far enough.
Oh, yes!
Sorry.
Oh. Open the door and let the air in. And let Mark in. Then I want you to call the hospital. Find out the name of the fag who gave him his credit card for me. I want to send him maybe a Chagall lithograph.
That's very generous.
Oh, hey, I owe this guy. Oh, he might have saved my life.
He must still be sedated. He never gave me a Chagall print, and I've worked for you for 8 years.
Susan, if you wanted, I could give you something better.
What?
You know, with a little surgery, you don't have to be that homely. I'd pay for implants and liposuction, but don't take it as an insult. You know how much I like you.
I'll let your dog in.
If you fixed yourself up, you might meet a man.
As she leaves, he picks up the phone.
Hello, Audie. It's me. Your kidney stoneless half-brother. That's right, I had them last night. Did Mum ever have kidney stones? The urologist wanted to know. If you're checking your machine before you leave work, just come on by. I need a nurse. Susan? Susan, don't be so sensitive. For God's sake, Susan, come back inside.
The Englishman limps out to the poolside to find Susan looking on as Dasmo, seated on a huge pair of sunglasses, trains his gun on the staring dog.
Call him off!
Who are you?
Pull your fucking dog off!
Mark! Come here! Mark! Heel!
Call him off!
He's not vicious. He just wants to fetch. He's waiting for you to throw the gun.
I'm telling you, you better get over here and drag him away, or I'll shoot him. And then I'll shoot the both of you, too.
Do you have something to do with that car that blew up on Mulholland?
I was supposed to be in the car. And there's a man that's going to come looking for me. A man who wants to finish the job he botched. I'd like to borrow the keys to your car.
Give him the keys.
Susan gingerly tosses the keys to Dasmo, causing the dog to growl again.
I'm going to pull him away.
Good idea. Prick fuck. Fuck prick. Fuck you.
The Englishman hunches and sidles towards the dog.
God, are you ugly.
Do I know you?
Me?
You look familiar.
Susan, let me get out of here.
Susan what?
Harris, but I changed it from Paluzzo.
Paluzzo's a beautiful name. You shouldn't have changed. You got a smoke?
No, I don't smoke.
Look, I'm not a thief, but I need money.
I lost my wallet.
No, not yours. His.
All I have is about $40.
Dasmo gestures impatiently. The Englishman tosses him the wad of cash. Dasmo fails to catch it and gives the Englishman a dangerous look. As he bends down to pick it up, his wig slips to the ground. Susan looks at the Englishman and stifles a smile.
He's crooked.
Dasmo turns towards Susan, who makes tiny gestures with her finger to indicate how he needs to adjust the toupee. Dasmo accepts this and tweaks his hairpiece accordingly, then scuttles away. The Englishman, hiding abjectly behind Susan, looks at her quizzically.
Paluzzo?
Dasmo scurries through the art-bedecked house. Reaching the front door, he suddenly retreats back inside, slipping as he does so.
Shit!
He scurries to retrieve the car keys and then limps back further into the house. Susan enters from the back.
Leave that dog outside. You two come in. Shut the door! You got anything to eat in this place? I'm fucking starving. You got any pasta here? Any marinara sauce? Any garlic?
Why don't you just go? Take the car and leave.
You want us to cook for you?
No. I'll cook.
A gabled motel on a busy street.
You know, people don't realize how important a minute is. So much life revolves around a single minute. You have a minute egg,
a minute waltz, a minute rice. People are always demanding you give them a minute. Nobody realizes how valuable it is until they only have one left.
Wait.
Just stand there.
Helga enters from the bathroom scantily clad.
I just want to look at you.
God definitely broke the mold out of you, baby.
I sold that to my modeling agency.
Tell them yourself. You're not too tall. It's a world that's too short.
She sits, legs splayed, feet resting on the edge of the bed. Lee gets up and begins kissing her left knee and thigh. She holds the back of the chair and writhes in pleasure.
God, you are beautiful.
He walks brusquely to the other side of the room.
You know, when I asked Roy if you were the one who approached him on behalf of the North Koreans and he had 16 seconds to answer, I think he wet his bed.
He puts ice down his pants.
Why did you go through that ridiculous story? Just to torture him? Sometimes I really think he should have been born during the Spanish Inquisition.
He slips ice into his mouth. She has turned in her chair to face him. He advances.
Move up.
He tosses her onto the bed and kneels between her legs.
He was my dead man.
Lay back.
Don't put your hand around my throat.
I think you like it a little bit.
I don't. It makes me not trust you.
You can trust me.
He bites through her basque and rips it wide open.
Just like I trusted you with Roy. Which breast does he touch? This one?
He holds the ice between his teeth and presses it to her nipple.
I don't have to touch either one the way it turned out. Why didn't you change your mind? I thought the one I gave me having an affair with him was to lure him into the desert where we kill him. Becky's house.
Why?
You got jealous. You let it get to you personally. You've never done that before.
On top of him now, she kisses him savagely on the mouth.
I guess I must really be in love with you.
They embrace tightly and passionately. A pan of pasta penne bubbles on a stove. A vivid red sauce scattered with herbs sits in an adjacent pan. Dasmo stands holding his gun in his right hand and a wooden spatula in his left. He tastes the sauce and sprinkles in more seasoning. Susan looks on.
You got any rapini? What is that?
It's an Italian vegetable, like broccoli. He doesn't have any. I do all the shopping for him.
Well, you ought to keep some in the house. It's good for you. It's got a ton of vitamins and minerals. Prevents cancer. I eat it on a daily basis.
The Englishman holds a glass of water. Dasmo tastes the sauce.
What are your pants stained with?
Oh, yeah. I gotta borrow a change of clothes.
Why was that car you were in blown up? Why does that man want to kill you? What were you two involved in?
You think I'm gonna tell you?
He doesn't know. You don't know why that man tried to kill you, do you?
You're a pretty smart cookie, aren't you? Anybody in your family connected?
No, I'm not from New York. I grew up in Reseda.
Oh. We got people out here. We got people everywhere.
Susan and Dasmo share a look, which is broken by the Englishman who imperiously thrusts out his water glass for her to fill and then eyes Dasmo with disdain.
You guys are hungry, right?
Well, I could eat.
Well, sit down. It's almost ready. Don't do that!
She has pulled out a chair.
You sit in the chair. He's sitting on the floor. He's a rude little shit, and that's his punishment. I heard the comment you made before while I was by the pool. If you weren't injured, you'd catch a beating. And don't you listen to any of that plastic surgery bullshit. You're a very attractive woman. Don't you change a thing about yourself.
You don't think I need a nose job?
Fuck no, you don't need a nose job.
Good, because she already had one.
Please. Oh, shit. Sit down the floor.
Please don't.
By your window. By your door.
He doesn't mean anything by it. It's just part of his nature to be cruel. Don't take any offense.
Look, from now on, as long as I'm here, you don't make no more apologies for him. That's a new rule, okay? Okay?
okay?
As a matter of fact, you don't make no apologies for nobody in your life, including yourself. You mind serving?
Daylight. The exterior of Becky's house. Wind rustles hanging foliage by an upper window. Inside, Becky lies, still face down on the bed, slowly coming round. Opening her eyes, she takes in the bottles and the shaded lamp on her bedside table, all covered in a fine spray of red. She struggles up from beneath the weight of Roy's body. She is soaked in blood.
Remember, you gotta have her on tape propositioning you. You just keep that earring facing toward her. You gotta negotiate a price. Be specific. How much for a hand job? How much for a blow job? You don't get it on tape, the DA won't prosecute. This goddamn fucking air conditioner. How to stay in the fucking valley? It breaks. What's the matter?
Nothing.
You don't look like you're into this.
What, I'm supposed to be jumping up and down all excited about busting a massage parlor? You really think that closing down this place is going to have a major impact on your precious valley?
Hey, these people spread disease.
Oh, jeez, why am I justifying your job at you? What the hell did you think you were going to do when you transferred to Vice?
You want to know what I think? I was in that massage parlor, and I liked that girl. Yeah, the sweet kid. Woman who runs the place probably gave her a ticket, brought her over from some place. She's working to pay off her debt, whatever, I don't know. She is a dickhead. I agree, we should bust her, absolutely. But not this kid. Come on, she's just a victim of circumstance.
You're a fucking bleeding heart liberal.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm fed up. I joined the force to get into homicide, to bust people who commit murder. I want to be a detective, but I can't seem to make it happen. I can't seem to get promoted into homicide, so I keep transferring around from robbery to bunco to forgery to vice, and I just spent 10 fucking years banging around. I'm not doing what I want to do.
You ain't going in there. You ain't gonna make this bust happen. You're gonna fuck it up.
You're right. I'm not going in there.
2410, this is AC6. We got a problem. We are not going forward.
Help, 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 help. He's dead. Somebody killed him. Do you have a car phone? I need to call the police.
Lady, we are the police.
At the Los Angeles National Cemetery, Teddy carries flowers.
Poggy. Come here.
Teddy stops at one of a long line of identical white gravestones.
I like cream in my coffee. And I like to...
Teddy kneels by the headstone, which beneath an engraved Star of David reads, Henrietta M. Peppers, Captain, WAC, U.S. Army. Bogey looks up eagerly as Teddy pulls out a bottle of spirits and necks what is left in the bottom. Tossing the bottle aside, he then pulls out his little pistol. Bogey pants and stares as Teddy pulls out the magazine and slips a bullet into it before slotting it back into the butt of the gun.
Nobody knows me like my baby.
He raises it to his temple. Bogey leaps up. Teddy closes his eyes.
Shut up. Shut up. Somebody will find you. Somebody will take you. Sorry. Sorry, sweetheart. You're a good boy. You're the best boy. You're the best boy. You'll have a nice house and everything. Somebody will find you, sweetheart. Give me a kiss. Give Papa a kiss. Give Teddy a kiss.
Teddy unhands the terrier and kneels back up, placing the muzzle of the pistol once again to his temple. His attention, however, is drawn to the sound of a car. An immaculate, open-topped Morris Minor tootles through the cemetery and pulls up. A red-haired woman in sunglasses gets out. Teddy stares, letting the gun fall to his side. The woman, wearing what appears to be a white nurse's uniform, strides through the graves bearing a bunch of flowers.
Hi, Jamie. How you doing? Yeah. Ow!
Ow! Teddy looks on fascinated at the woman as she kneels by a gravestone, her back turned to him.
I was wondering if perhaps you might be interested in a dog. I have to move, and they don't allow pets where I'm going.
Then don't move.
Well, no, it's more complicated than that. I have to leave the country. Oh, boy, it's hot today, isn't it? I just came here from the valley. It's hell over there. Anyway, the reason I stopped you is, you being a nurse, I thought perhaps one of the patients at the hospital that you work at, I'd be interested in a companion.
What do you do?
I'm a writer-director.
Do you make war movies?
War movies?
Yeah.
You like war movies?
Yeah, they're my favorites.
No, I never made a war movie. Oh, though there's probably a lot of great stories in this cemetery. My mother was a nurse in World War II. Did you lose a family member in war?
I lost a friend. Well, would I have seen something you've done? I mean, I don't just see war movies.
Author's Last Hope. It was a TV movie. You see that?
No, I didn't. But I think I heard of it. What else have you done?
Something called Lights Out.
Lights Out? You did that?
You saw it?
Yes, I did. It was very funny. Of course, I was the only one laughing, but yeah.
Were you the only one in the theater?
Well, I still liked it. Especially the part with the elephant. That was so unexpected. I'm very impressed. Oh, what's his name?
Bogey. I know, it's trite.
No. Humphrey Bogart made two great war movies. Across the Pacific and
Tokyo Joe.
Yeah. All right, I'll take him.
You will?
Are you sure you can't postpone this trip?
No. Here. Okay. Take it.
Take it easy.
Okay. Bye, Bogey.
Asmo sits at the kitchen table of the Englishman, who sits on the floor at gunpoint, his face contorted in resentment. Susan spoons grated parmesan onto Dasmo's pasta and withdraws to stand at the other side of the kitchen.
Ain't you gonna eat?
Not unless Mr. Hopper does, and he won't eat unless he sits at the table.
What kind of folks these people are? They're loyal type, eh?
I'm Italian.
All right. Good luck. No. Bring the plate. Sit up. Sit up. 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 No. Sit up. You expecting somebody?
It's my half sister.
Get rid of her.
She won't leave. She's coming by to see if I'm okay. She's a nurse.
She's got a man with her. He's holding a dog.
Another fucking dog!
The unmarked Vice Squad police car speeds up the hill to Becky's house. Pulling up outside, the two policemen get out, followed by the quivering, blood-covered Becky.
Okay, all right, you're all right. All right, you just wait here, okay? You just wait here. We're gonna take a quick look inside. What's the matter?
I'm really sore right here. Oh my God. Oh my God, look at that. I'm black and blue there. I'm bruised.
Looks like a little...
What is that?
Like a prick from an injection.
An injection? What kind of injection?
I don't know. Miss Fox, you're all right, okay? You wait here. We'll be right out. We'll take you down to the station and have a doctor look at that, all right? Try and remain calm. Breathe.
Becky falls to her knees on the gravel. The two cops move into the house military style, their guns held taut, covering each other and sweeping the whole place for hostiles. Alvin goes up the stairs in front of the younger man. Halfway up, Alvin stops. The red-haired cop doesn't and bumps his face into Alvin's back. Alvin gives his colleague a disdainful look. Then they continue up into the bedroom. This room, like much of the rest of the house, is festooned with sports trophies. Roy's dead body lies on the blood-soaked bed.
Jesus Christ.
Shot him point blank in the head.
Don't touch anything.
I wasn't going to, right?
Let's go.
Hold up.
No, we're not wasting our time here.
I'd like to have a look around.
No, we're gonna let homicide do it. Fuck anything up in this crime scene. The defense will use it against the prosecution when they catch the fuck that did this. Come on, Weston. Let's go.
Don't be putting your hand on me.
Get downstairs.
Keep fucking hand off of me.
Keep pushing me.
What?
Keep pushing me.
What?
Keep pushing me.
What are you guys fighting about? Oh, God.
Miss Fox, where exactly were you when this happened?
I was lying right next to him. And I mean, I think that I was.
You think?
I don't remember anything. We were sleeping last night, and he's my ex-husband, and we fell asleep, and then when I woke up, Roy was like, oh God,
okay.
Roy.
You know, I'm a little confused here. You say you were sleeping next to him all night, but you didn't hear a shot?
Maybe that's what the injection was. You know, he stuck it in her, and then he used the silencer.
Oh God, who would do that?
Well, do you know anyone that might...
No.
Why don't we take this downstairs?
Alvin escorts Becky away back down the stairs, leaving the would-be homicide cop in his element. He spots something on the floor and picks it up with relish.
Miss Fox?
Come on, wait.
Miss Fox, do you smoke?
No.
Did your ex-husband?
No, why?
Do you have any friends that smoke?
I don't allow smoking in my house. Why are you asking me that?
Because I found this in your bedroom.
Where was it?
On the floor behind a clothes hamper.
It must be the killers. It must belong to them.
Put it back where you found it, you idiot.
What?
That evidence might be part of the crime, and you're moving it around the house? Put it back.
The red-haired cop swallows hard, but drops his eyes and heads back up the stairs.
All right, it's back.
Can we just get out of here?
Yes.
Hey, did you hear that? She said it belonged to them.
What?
She said it must have belonged to them.
What are you talking about?
I held up the smokes, and she said it must be the killers. It must belong to them. Why would she say them?
It's just a figure of speech. Like when you find your car stolen, you say they stole it. Or someone breaks into your house, you say they robbed me. It's just a figure of speech. Your wannabe detective brain is working overtime.
Alvin prods his colleague's forehead. Susan leads Audrey upstairs.
Can you just wait a few minutes? He'll be right down.
Oh, I'll go up.
No. He wanted you to wait.
Susan, why are you acting so strange?
Oh, I'm not acting strange.
Well,
I don't think Alan's going to want another dog, though.
Well, where's the swimming puppy? Can we let him in?
Let's just wait until Alan comes down. Why don't you guys come over here and sit on the couch just over here? And do you want something to drink?
Oh, I would love a scotch.
Sure, I think we've got someone. Is it Glenlivet all right?
Perfect.
Audrey?
I'm fine. Susan, I'm wondering about you.
That won't fit.
Why? Because it's an expensive suit?
It won't fit you.
Fucking liar. Lie to me again and I'll knock your teeth out. It's a 44.
Some in there are 40 regulars.
Oh, yeah? Show me one. Ow! Jesus!
Tasmo pushes Alan roughly into the open wardrobe door. Alan searches unconvincingly for the 40 regular suits.
They're at the cleaners. But that suit's not going to fit you. I had the waistcoat. Oh, shit! Look what you've done to my door! I only...
The door falls off onto his head.
Ow! I only had them fitted last month! Look, that suit's not going to fit you. I had the waist custom tailored. I have a 32-inch waist. Ah!
I'll fit into them. How do you get kidney stones?
Too much calcium or oxalate in your diet.
Oh, yeah?
One of the nurses thinks it's caused by stress.
Fuck, then I probably got it.
Dasmo wheels around in alarm on seeing next to the bath a bizarre comic stuffed dog with Alan's own face superimposed beneath the pricked up ears.
What do you got to be stressed out about? Big house, all this money, all this art?
It's all relative.
Oh, you're lonely. It's tough being rich. You can't find someone to love you for who you are and not for your money.
Look, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I spent a large part of my childhood being brought up in a trailer park. My father abandoned us, and my mother couldn't even afford to send me to college. I might be an arsehole, but I worked hard to become one.
Well, you definitely achieved your goal.
How much do they pay you for a hit? 2,000? 5,000?
$5,000? What do I look like, an amateur?
No. You look very professional.
The now trouserless Dasmo looks down, then touches his toupee.
So you'll be at this number, Miss Fox, if we need to get in touch.
Yeah, I'll be at my girlfriend's, the one who's picking me up.
Hey, if you want to go anywhere else, you just let us know.
Okay.
Don't worry.
When will they have, my urine analyzed?
We should have the results.
Could you help me out here?
Hey, what did I tell you? And as the doctor said, we're almost certain it was a sedative of some kind. We're going to find out who did this, I promise you.
It's just all so weird. There she is. There's my girlfriend.
Miss Fox, do you have to go back to your place for any reason?
No. No, I never want to go back there again. And, call me Becky.
Okay. If you think of anything, Becky, anything at all that you think might help us, I want you to give me a call. I'm putting my home number on the back here. So you can call me anytime at all, day or night. Even if it's just to talk.
Thanks.
Okay.
You guys have been great.
The female cop turns ironically to the older male.
You weren't coming on to her now, were you, Doug?
Now, what do you think? She's one hell of an athlete. I watched her compete on TV.
Did she ever medal? I don't follow skiing.
No, she just missed. Came in fourth in the last two Olympics.
Becky gets into the passenger seat of a car. At the wheel sits Helga.
How did it go? How could you kill Roy? In my house? In my bed? With me sleeping next to him? You were supposed to shoot him at his place.
We didn't tell you where we were going to do it. Lee told you. He didn't want you to know when or where it was going to happen. That way you're out of it. You can't be connected.
Can't be connected? I was 3 inches away from him.
That's exactly why they can't put it together.
Did Lee drop a pack of cigarettes?
Why?
Because they kept asking me about them.
Yes, they were planted. And I'm not going to tell you anything more, because the less you know, the better. They asked you about them, you answered honestly. You don't know anybody who smokes them. That's the way it's supposed to go. Lee knows what he's doing. He's protecting you.
Were you there too?
Where's the money? Lee wants you to bring the money.
Well, we have a little problem there.
What problem?
It's in my house.
In your house?
In a safe! In the closet of my house!
Our 30,000 is in your closet?
That's right, that's where
it is! How can you leave that kind of cash
like that? Don't yell at me!
You know, I'm just curious. This friend of yours is buried in the veteran cemetery.
I don't want to talk about him.
I don't mean to be nosy. I just know what it takes to get in there. There's a lot of heroes buried in that place. Was your friend a hero?
He wouldn't have considered himself one.
You lose him in Vietnam?
Yes. Now, I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. Next subject.
The Gabled Motel. Inside, Helga casts a sidelong glance at the tense Becky.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get our money. It's time for us to say goodbye to California, and we'd like to take our money with us.
But those detectives are up at the house.
No problem.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get our money. Then Helga and I will say goodbye until you get the check from his insurance company. Then you'll contact us, and we'll divide it in half. Get packed, have everything in the car, honey.
Okay, baby. I just wish I knew you were going to kill Roy in my house. I would have wanted to discuss it.
I've already been through this with her.
Look, darling, it's over. There's no turning back. Stay calm. Follow the plan. And everything will happen as it should.
Is there...
What?
Is there someone else in on this? Somebody I should know about? We're in this together. Why don't you tell me the truth? Why do you keep torturing me?
We'll just tell her, Lee. What's the difference?
Lee stares his unsettling stare and then takes Becky by surprise by putting his hand to her face. He traces down with his left thumb from her eyebrow over her cheek to her lips. She gazes back at him with a hint of arousal.
All right. Since you've been such a good sport, I'm going to put your mind at ease so you can sleep at night. Yes, there was another person involved. He's going to take the fall, but you don't have to worry about him talking because he's already dead. Everything will lead back to this person, and it will appear as if he was hired to kill your ex-husband because of a drug deal gone bad. Now, you know almost everything.
What else is there to know?
Becky. Becky. We have to keep some secrets from you, don't we? In case you forget to call us when you get that insurance check.
Exactly.
Lee exits. Helga crawls across the bed towards Becky with a seductive smile. At Alan's apartment.
He's coming.
Dasmo in a suit pushes Alan into where the others are waiting.
All right, everybody, sit up.
What's going on?
This guy's holding us hostage.
Well, who is he?
Well, he won't tell us his name, but I know him from somewhere.
All right, everybody shut up. Didn't I tell you to sit down?
Teddy stares back at him, reaching for his little pistol.
Be smart.
Audrey pulls Teddy to the sofa.
All right, here's the situation. When it gets dark, we're all going to take a little ride.
Not me, I have to lay down.
Then you lay down on a trunk.
Going where?
You'll see when we get there. No, I don't want to shoot nobody. But I will if it becomes a necessity. If everybody behaves, nobody's going to get hurt. Miss Paluzzo, you're going to drive.
Who's Paluzzo?
That's my real last name.
But how does he know?
She told him. She's been with me for 8 years, and I never knew she even had another last name. He meets her, and 5 seconds later, they're bosom buddies.
What are you doing? I'm just taking some notes.
He's a television writer.
Put the fucking pen down.
Could you talk a little slower?
Don't!
He thinks I'm fucking around. You better tell him I'm not fucking around, Susan.
He's not fucking around.
He's not. Give me back the pen.
Shut the fuck down!
Give me that pen.
Shut up! Shut the fuck down! Shut the fucking door up!
Down in.
Lee, impassive, neat and inscrutable, cruises along at the wheel of a large, shiny car. He glides to a halt at a junction. Another car draws up alongside him. At the wheel of this car sits Alvin. He looks across at the passenger seat and picks up an enormous multicolored plastic water blaster gun, which he holds up, looking along its sights. He lowers it, revealing that Lee is now looking across at him with an expression of mildly amused approbation. The lights change and the cop pulls away and veers to the right in his slightly worn saloon car. He draws up in a leafy residential street and parks by the curb. Along the opposite pavement runs a high wire mesh fence. Alvin gets out, carrying his water blaster, and trudges up the lawn towards a house. He shakes his head as if disapprovingly and bends to pick up a golf ball from the grass. He lobs it violently over the road and the chain-link fence to where a group of men in casual clothing are playing golf. As he stoops again, another golf ball whistles past and smashes a large window pane in the front of the house.
I've had it with you assholes. That is the third time you've broken my fucking window!
Whoa! Whoa!
Get out from behind that tree!
Whoa.
Come out with your hands up! I'm a police officer!
It wasn't me, all right? It was him!
Walk
he did.
Out!
Hey, where you going?
Walk out!
Okay, I'm coming. I'm coming. Don't shoot. Yeah.
The terrified golfer emerges slowly from behind the tree and edges towards Alvin, who is training his pistol on him. He prudently drops his golf club. They stare tensely at each other. Alvin lowers his gun.
Fucking hack.
Alvin turns and strides away. The golfer looks confused, glances around towards his companions, and then removes his hands from his head. Nighttime. Outside the Lotus Touch Massage Japanese Therapy Center, the red-haired cop sits pensively in his car. He looks pointedly over towards the door of the massage parlor. The door opens and the graceful young Vietnamese masseuse ushers out a rather shabby middle-aged man who glances furtively around and then departs at speed. The masseuse goes back inside. The cop observes this with a serious face and then draws intensely on his cigarette. Alvin, bare-chested, lies slumped back on a sofa in an untidy living room. He sits up, picks up a marker pen, and opens a huge birthday card. Among the trash strewn across the table are a number of framed photos, one of a toddler with "I love you, Daddy" written on the frame. A child's picture of a family group reads, "My second daddy, good mommy, me, my first daddy." Alvin writes in the card, "I love you, your first daddy." He closes the brightly colored card, which proclaims on the front cover, "Have a wild birthday." He takes the water blaster and vaguely wraps it in a sheet of shiny paper. He arranges the gift and the card, and then casts a look over his shoulder. He does a double take as he notices the envelope sticking out of the pocket of his jacket. He reaches for it and ruefully pulls out the letter. He stares at the text of the letter. It reads, "Detective Alvin Strayer. Based on the evaluation of complaints of your abusive and erratic behavior, the Psychiatric Review Board has determined you are not fit for active duty. You are hereby ordered to surrender your badge and weapon within 48 hours.
Bitch, I'm never gonna see you again.
Son of a bitch.
You're gone for good.
Son of a bitch!"
Strayer clutches his head in his hands. Framed by the gaping hole left by his smashed window, he is now a small, tragic figure. Becky in the hotel room washes her face.
Aren't you and Lee engaged?
Yeah. Why?
bother him that you slept with Roy?
I didn't sleep with Roy.
And Lee believes that you just, what, fooled around?
That really bothers you, doesn't it?
Now, I'll tell you what bothers me, that he's gonna walk in there and murder those detectives.
And what do you care about them?
Look, Roy was one thing. He was a shit. He treated me like shit. He was a rat. He cheated on me our whole marriage. And then he sued me for alimony. I was paying him alimony. Did you know that? I was paying him alimony? No, I don't give a shit about Roy. But those detectives, they were nice to me. I don't want to be a part of them being killed.
You know what? You shouldn't have left our money in your closet.
Well, how was I supposed to know you were gonna shoot Roy in my house?
Don't raise your voice at me.
Can't you call it off?
No! Now lower your voice, you little bitch.
What did you call me?
A bitch? You know, Roy put up with a lot of shit, too. You were never supportive of his career. Yours always came first. You made your husband feel like shit. That's why he cheated on you. He deserved alimony.
You liked him. You really liked him.
Of course I liked him. Roy was a likable guy. He knew how to treat a woman. But then again, how would you know? You were never there. You were always too busy training for your next event. That's why your husband went to other women. His little worm couldn't even satisfy him in bed.
Becky gets in a couple of strong punches to Helga's chin, then gets her hands to her throat. They grapple, knocking over the TV. Helga pushes Becky heavily onto a small table. An elderly couple lie in bed looking up at the ceiling.
What the hell are they doing up there?
Maybe that's how they make love in Tizana.
Helga hurls Becky onto the washstand, smashing glass. She repeatedly thumps her head on the basin surround. She punches her and then shoves her across the room and over another low table, breaking yet more glass. Becky grabs a heavy glass vase and smashes it against Helga's head. She then delivers several vicious high kicks and gets Helga into an arm lock, forcing her against the wall. Thrown onto the bed, Helga now struggles to get her gun out of her handbag. The pair grapple madly for control of the weapon until they topple off the bed. Becky emerges at speed from the motel door and rushes headlong down the metal stairway. Helga limps out and raises her gun. Becky escapes and runs out onto the busy street. Helga, badly wounded, falls to the floor. At Becky's house.
Maybe she'll give you skiing lessons.
This girl is in great shape.
She ought to be. Look at all this equipment. And her bedroom. Think she's a little obsessed?
Hey, that's what it takes to win. You gotta be obsessed. I admire her. She never won, but she keeps on trying. Do you know what bothers me about all this? This job is so clean, so professional. But he leaves an empty cigarette pack. I mean, I know we're valley detectives, so we're not all that bright, but how stupid does he think we are?
Unless he doesn't care.
A latex-gloved hand unlatches the front door. The other gloved hand holds a large silenced pistol. The homicide detectives look up.
You hear something?
What?
I'm gonna check downstairs.
The female cop looks over the banister. She cautiously descends the stairs. She looks around curiously. A closet door opens and Lee emerges. He shoots her square in the forehead. Before she has even fallen, he grabs her and stashes her in the closet. Then turns his attention on the male cop upstairs, who now looks concerned and draws his own gun.
Carla?
Lee stands behind the door. Without a shred of remorse, he murders the male policeman, then checks his handiwork and indulges in a small smile of satisfaction. Heading into Becky's bedroom, he gets a set of keys from the bedside drawer. Parting the clothes hanging in the closet, he locates the old-fashioned safe and inserts a key into the lock. From among a trash of medals, he pulls out a box, which is full of bundles of banknotes. He riffles through them. Lee looks up curiously, closes the box, draws his pistol and goes out onto the landing. He bends down over the corpse of the male cop and pulls the man's police badge off his belt. On the doorstep stands the red-haired vice cop.
Hello? Hello? You guys up there?
Can I help you?
Hi. I'm Van Nuys Vice. My partner and I discovered this crime scene this morning.
Right.
I hope you don't mind. I thought I'd drop by and see how things were going.
Well, we're kind of busy right now.
Right. Well, listen, I was curious. You know that cigarette pack?
Did you find that?
Yes, I did.
Good work.
Well, thank you. Thanks. It's interesting, actually. When I asked Miss Fox about it, her response was, "It must be the killers. It must belong to them."
The young cop has started up the stairs, but backs off, seeing Lee barring his way.
What's your point? I think that Becky Fox might be in on this.
Really?
Yes. Maybe she hired the hitmen. I know it sounds far-fetched, but she and the victim were recently divorced. Maybe that's something to check into. Maybe the divorce was a messy thing. I don't know. But the fact that she said them, it bothers me. What do you think?
Interesting. It's reaching, but worth consideration. Listen, would you be willing to do a little legwork for us?
Absolutely. You name it. Anything. What do you need?
I have to take a ride down to the station, see if the lab has an ID print of the cigarette pack. Maybe you want to ride along? You could talk on the way. Maybe you can find out who that divorce lawyer was.
And I should check into the insurance policies, because, you know, a lot of times these couples, they get divorced and they don't bother changing the beneficiaries on their policies right away.
Good idea. Come on.
Helga appears. Lee opts not to shoot the young cop, instead merely pistol-whipping him unconscious. Blood-soaked Helga collapses.
Let's go. Come on, let's go. I don't think so. Oh. What are you kidding? You think I'm gonna shoot you? Go ahead. Shoot me. Shoot me. What are you, fucking crazy?
I think he's suicidal.
We all have our flaws.
You know, I had a bad feeling about you right from the beginning. What if I shoot her? Huh?
You harm one hair in her body, and I'll kill you. And I'm not fucking around. Now you point that gun somewhere else right this second, or I swear you'll be sorry.
You'll come with me?
If you give me a word, once we're safely out of the valley, you'll let everybody go.
How can you take this loser's word? You can't believe him.
I'll take his word over yours. It's been my experience more often than not that a loser has more honor than a winner.
I give you my word.
Your word of honor?
You got it.
Come on, Bogey.
I'm telling you, there's not enough room in the car.
Don't you start with me, you little selfish prick, because you, I don't give a shit about.
Look, I can't go. I'm in a lot of pain. Doctors compare the pain of passing a kidney stone to a woman giving birth to a baby. Bouncing in the car will hurt. I've got to take painkillers and lay down. Tell him, Audrey, you're a nurse. Make him understand. Oh!
He's out of pain now. Let's go.
Audrey, come on.
As soon as I'm out of the valley, I'll let you all go. Look, I really didn't want to have to hit him.
You lost your temper. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, once I got so mad at my father because he didn't come to my...
What did he come to?
To
to my piano recital. I got so mad I set fire to his favorite chair.
Did you really? Good for you.
What's your name?
Tosmo. You still play the piano?
Nah, he gave it up.
Well, it's never too late to start again. Okay, come on, let's get the hell out of here. You in the back. In the front.
Susan drives. Teddy sits in the front. Dasmo gets in the rear with Audrey.
Am I dying?
Is Becky dead?
No. She ran. I took a shot at her. I don't know if I hit her. No! Lee! It hurts. Please take me to a hospital.
Oh, no. No.
What are you doing?
This is a tough decision for me.
Decision? What decision?
Lee comes across to where Helga lies on the couch. He kisses her passionately on the mouth. She kisses him desperately. He stands and places the muzzle of his gun above her heart.
Give me a minute. You give everybody else a minute.
He hesitates. Then, keeping the gun in place, he pulls out and starts his stopwatch. She writhes in anguish. He slides down onto the floor beside her, stroking and kissing her face.
Honey, just tell me the truth. I gotta know. Did you sleep with Roy?
Ask me that now.
You're right, I'm sorry. I gotta get out of here. Just for the record, I think you did sleep with him. Goddamn automatics. Just jam!
He pats her face with grotesque sang-froid and crosses to where the young cop lies and starts frisking him.
You don't mind if I borrow this, do you?
Turning back with the policeman's gun, he finds the couch empty. Helga rolls down a leafy bank. Lee emerges onto the veranda and looks around. Spotting her, he puts the gun between his teeth, pulls off his latex gloves and pursues her implacably. She staggers into the road. He takes aim. A car stops, and the occupants bend over her in the road.
Help! Where are we going?
I'm gonna drop everybody in Pasadena.
But then you're gonna go back to Brooklyn?
What's this?
Stop the car!
Stop the car!
Keep going!
I'm at first! I have to get out of the car!
Would you shut up and just... Let her out of the car!
Oh. Audrey goes to Helga's aid.
What happened?
I don't know.
And she came out of the bushes.
All right, it's okay. Try to relax.
Just try to relax. That's it. You can hold on to my hand.
Meeting him in more.
That's it. Everything's gonna be okay. What kind of language is that?
Sounds Swedish.
Lee aims from the shadows. Dasmo looks around.
It's okay. Try to relax. Everything's gonna be okay. She's not gonna make it if we don't
get out.
Help.
What's going on?
I need the car.
I'm driving you.
Oh,
thank you, Jenny. There you go. Everything's gonna be okay. All right, that's it. Okay, try to breathe. That's a girl. Just relax.
Audrey clutches Helga's blood-soaked hand and looks down compassionately as the young woman, eyes wide, seems to draw her final breath. Her hand goes limp. Audrey feels for a pulse and then pulls the jacket Teddy has laid over Helga up over the young woman's face. Inside Becky's house, Lee hurries up the stairs to pick up the money. The young cop, rubbing his head, walks out through the front door. Dasmo draws up. Lee takes a position in the doorway.
Get the fuck down! Down!
Lee returns fire.
Get behind the car and stay there. Stay the fuck down!
Go on! Save him! Because the next shot's gonna blow his brains out!
Who is he?
I'm a police officer! Stay where you are! Do not jeopardize your safety for me!
Shoot a guy when he's down? Where's your guts?
You can save him! Go get him!
Fuck him! I'm coming to get you!
Come get me, Dumbo.
Stay where you are! That's an order!
You motherfucking cowardly prick!
The cop has been shot in the knee.
Come get me, Dumbo.
Dasmo exchanges a look with Susan. Lee shoots the cop a second time.
Dasmo, don't! He'll kill you!
Dasmo heroically resolves to go and save the policeman. He strides out from behind his tree. He grabs the cop and turns to drag him to safety. Lee shoots Dasmo in the back. Susan looks at where Dasmo has fallen. Lee swaggers out from the house. Lee looks down at the terrified cop and places his foot on the man's chest.
Time's up.
Dasmo spins around and aims at Lee. Lee crosses to Dasmo, kicks the useless gun out of his hand and then pulls up his shirt, revealing the bulletproof vest.
You're a tricky son of a bitch. You almost got away with it. But that's your life, isn't it, Dasmo? Almost, but not quite.
Lee aims his pistol at Dasmo's head. Dasmo winces. Susan winces. It is Lee, however, who has been hit. He sways slightly, looking ahead of him, still almost smiling. Then he collapses. The money hits the ground. Teddy stands holding his small smoking pistol. Dasmo and the cop exchange a look. Dasmo then scoops the wads of banknotes back into the box, under the gaze of the cop. Dasmo proffers the box of cash to the cop.
Dasmo! Hurry!
Go. Go.
The cop waves him away. Dasmo, clutching his toupee to his head, runs with the money towards where Susan sits in the car. Dasmo stops and looks into Teddy's eyes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tasmo scuttles around and into the passenger seat of the car. He exchanges a look with Susan.
You want this?
Teddy holds out his gun. Susan looks expectantly at Dasmo.
Nah.
She smiles gratefully at Dasmo. Teddy breaks into a broad grin. The screen goes black. Morning. The teeming city spreads out at the foot of the surrounding hills. Up the road runs Becky. She crosses to a large red 4x4 parked by the curb. She feels beneath the wheel arch for the magnetic key box. She takes from under the windscreen wiper what may be a parking ticket, then gets in and breathes a sigh of relief. She winds down her window and pulls away. A bumper sticker on the rear of the vehicle reads, Team USA, Nagano, Japan, Reach for Gold, 1998. She throws the ticket from her windscreen out onto the roadway and disappears around a bend. Beneath a banner decorated with the Star of David and reading, Happy 50th Anniversary to Abe and Louise, Audrey seems to be ministering to an elderly man in a wheelchair. Teddy stands across the street looking at her. He now approaches with Bogey on his lead. She turns, surprised, then bends down to pet the dog. Susan drives Alan's red BMW along a country road, turning to throw a fond look at Dasmo.
You know, you do know me.
From Polly's Pizza in Studio City.
You knew?
I realized it when you were cooking, but I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to embarrass you.
Dasmo leans across and kisses Susan full on the lips.
You know, this could be seed money to open up a pizzeria in Brooklyn.
Dasmo?
What?
There's just one thing that bothers me. It's been bothering me since we met. Can I do something? Don't get mad, just try it.
What?
She lifts off his toupee.
That.
You look better without it.
Hey,
really do.
Look, don't ever do that again.
He crossly pulls down the vanity mirror in the sunblind and prepares to replace his hairpiece. He pauses, however, and inspects how he looks. Susan looks across at him. He suddenly folds the mirror back up, looks across at her, and then tosses the wig over his shoulder. She smiles fondly, looks back at the roadway, and then puts her bunched fingers to her lips and makes a typically Italian gesture of appreciation. He laughs delightedly. The car continues along a sweep of road beneath low hills. Horse riders canter in the adjoining fields. The end. Thank you.
time.